Word I think of for him is for Debo, I think of joy. Like, he has it. Like, you see it on the practice field, you see it in the meeting rooms. There's an energy that he brings to our team that is, you feel it. And I certainly did right from the beginning.
Dan Quinn talking Debo Samuel. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On The Fan, you can watch us today on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream in high definition. Linnell is in for Danny. Of course, you can listen wherever you are, coast to coast, on travel. Somebody was listening yesterday. I just got a message on Instagram from Madrid. They're there a little bit early.
About to say, having a good little vacation.
Yeah, maybe they're out there until the game. I don't know.
Yeah,
they're
scouting the scene.
Exactly. They're the person to ask where you should eat, I guess, if you're going to see the Commanders and the Dolphins. But if you're listening the old-fashioned way on 106.7 in the car, we appreciate that very much as well. We'll hit the phones in a second. Question for you is, of the moves the Commanders made this offseason, if you could gift one of these players a banner campaign where they outperform all expectations, who would you choose that to be? Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, protecting Jaden Daniels' blindside. Debo Samuel as a receiver who they desperately need to make a bunch of plays on offense, especially in a world where Terry McLaurin's late to work.
Well, yeah.
Javon Kinlaw, the big fella up front for a team that was so bad at stopping the run last year. Josh Connerly, who gives you the ability to not only have a quality right tackle, but Brandon Coleman kicking inside to guard maybe helps you upgrade two positions if he can cut the mustard there. This is our poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Go vote on Twitter right now. Local, long distance, residential, commercial, three decades, best-in-class service and experience. Here's my hipster Paulson take. Now, I'm not using him as the answer to the question, for the record. I'm gonna answer that in a second. But a guy we have not talked about who's actually a critical new addition to this football team, who I think will help as much as anybody, Matt Gay.
Wow. Who's been lights out, by the way, in camp.
Kicker Matt Gay is a real NFL kicker. They did not have one last year. Now, it did not blow up in their face to the extent that I thought it was going to.
It almost did. It was about a half an inch away.
Constantly. Doink. Including the doink in the playoffs. Yeah. But how many times, I mean, we could actually look it up, but I think from the start of camp until the end of the season, they went through seven kickers. I'm pretty sure that number's correct. Matt Gay's a grown-up. He's a 31-year-old, legitimate, stud NFL place kicker. He did not have his best year last season. But for back-to-back years with the Rams, kicking on carpet indoors in 21 and 22, he was the most accurate kicker in the league, not named Justin Tucker. Like, this is a legit...
I slept on him.
...good kicker, and I hadn't even thought about it much until I was at practice on day one where he was drilling kicks. And I was like, ball's different off his foot.
That's what it looks different.
That's what it looks like from 54 when you just have a big-time kicker who can go out there. And the way that they go for fourth downs, a lot of the times those 50 to 55 yarders, you know, it doesn't matter as much. But I think he could lengthen the field.
Right.
You know, people don't talk about this enough, in my opinion, Linnell. You see these stats all the time of, like, the percentage that a team gets points or percentage of the time that a drive ends and, like, a kick or a touchdown or whatever. And it's the highest it's ever been right now. Well, part of that is... you start 5 yards further than you've ever started, right? Nowadays, with the rules, specific with the landing the ball in the right area of the field with the new kickoff or just where you start on a touchback, you're one completion away from midfield. And with kickers and the length of these legs now, with a guy like Gay who could be good from, you know, 57 for him was the 47 of 10 years ago.
Which is crazy.
But this is what these guys are when you have a real one, right? You're one completion. Literally, you start at basically the 30-yard line. You're an 18-yard dig route away, and now you need 7 yards to be in field goal range. No wonder why a lot of drives are ending in field goal attempts or points or whatever. If you go for a couple fourth downs, now you're close to the red zone. But you're quite literally like two gains of 7 or more yards away from field goal range, basically, when you run out onto the field with some of these kickers.
Does that make them more conservative on fourth down this year? Because they actually trust the guy. I know we were all giving Dan Quinn his kudos last year for the willingness to go for it on fourth. Was that because he's got onions of steel or because the kicker stunk?
Yes.
Right. So that's,
I actually think it's a great point you just made. You know, I haven't really thought about that. They will go for fewer fourth downs. Number one, stop playing with fire.
Well, yeah.
Because, like, you can't do what they did last year again.
It's unsustainable.
You had the best fourth down year anybody's had.
Ever.
You're not going to do that a second time in a row.
Yeah.
They should be aggressive. You have a cheat code.
Right.
Lamar Jackson and the Ravens went for more fourth downs during a several-year period than anybody ever had. Yeah. They're super analytical. Everyone talked about it being because they love the numbers. It was mostly because you have a cheat code in Lamar Jackson.
Exactly.
And on fourth and a foot, fourth and a yard, fourth and two, I'm doing this read option.
Right.
Good luck defending me. And now Washington has that same cheat code. So, yes, they should 100% go for more fourth downs. But I don't remember what the number was at the end of last year.
It was something crazy.
I think they were like 23 of 26. Something like that. I would bet on the under on both conversions and attempts fairly substantially.
Okay.
Like, it would be reasonable.
It'd be a smart bet.
If they, exactly. And the easiest bet ever.
Right.
I think that, like, let's say they go like 14 of 22, you know, 15 of 21 or something.
I don't know if I
like,
could take 8 fourth downs being missed, by the way. Well, that's a gut punch. I mean, as a fan, come on.
Every team in the league had to deal with it except one last year, pretty much. Right. Know? But you get the point is, yeah, I do think they'll go for a few less because Jaden Daniels on fourth and five was a better bet than Zane, whatever your name is.
Yeah.
Zane Gonzalez or
I don't even remember all the sillies we
that would actually
last
be
year.
A fun game.
How many how many kickers do we have?
Name that kicker.
Do we have a guy named like Painter? Am I making that up?
No, you're thinking of Curtis Painter, the Ford Colts quarterback.
That's tough.
Do you remember Ramiz Ahmed from training camp?
Did he wear goggles or something like that? Some
no,
wonky?
That's the Georgia kicker. Rodrigo.
Yeah. So I don't even, that just shows you how many kickers we actually went through because I can't even pinpoint just one and tell you.
But they got a better kicker now. So that's a thing. So what's your answer, though? Let's both give our answers and hit the phones. 800-636-1067. You are taking the power to give one of these new guys an awesome season. Tunsil, Debo, Kinlaw, Connerly. Who are you using that power on?
So I was going to say Tunsil, but the more I think about it, if Tunsil goes down with injury, You've seen Brandon Coleman at left tackle. He's serviceable. You got away with it for 17 weeks last year, so I wouldn't be, you know, adverse to doing it again. I think the key guy, Javon Kinlaw, dude. Like, they gave him a massive contract when you think about the defensive tackle market and where the position is. It was obviously a big position in need. You needed to be better there. The run defense struggled. Grant, I don't know if you knew this nugget. Like, they gave up the third most yards before contact in the NFL last year, meaning they were getting blown off the football up front. So obviously he's supposed to aid that weakness. If he doesn't play well and doesn't make an impact, who's the interior guy that I'm supposed to just go, boom, it's him. He's going to be the reason why the run defense is better. Because you've seen him out in person. I mean, you've covered the NFL for a while. You've been to tons of practices. He is the largest human being I've ever seen in my life. And I put my right hand in the Bible. Like, that's legit.
There's only a couple. I was actually, it's funny you say that. I was having this exact conversation with someone on the practice field on day one. Dude, the same reason where I was like, my God. Like, I don't even know how a person gets that big.
Yeah.
But there's a couple guys. Do you remember Ty Nsekhe?
Oh, my God. I love me some Ty Nsekhe.
He was huge.
Remember they slid Trenton the guard?
Absolutely. He was so big, though. And another guy, and this was not a guy I covered day to day, but Jonathan Ogden.
Big
you remember
too.
The name?
Yes.
Baltimore Ravens Tackle Hall of Famer. Ogden, just in person, standing next to him, is one of the biggest human beings I've ever seen on football field. But yeah, it's a different kind of big with Kinlaw. He's shaped kind of like a refrigerator.
Yeah.
You know
in a good
I mean?
Way, though.
Like, it's just, he is a wildly
large. We're talking like
large.
A stainless steel smart refrigerator,
ones.
You know?
I just had to drop 2,300 on one of those.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was not fun. When to come downstairs, the good thing about it was we had just spent $400 on groceries at Costco and Wegmans. And all of that went bad. So that's
awesome.
That's the best thing about it.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that. As soon as we went and got more groceries, we had a snafu where my wife thought it wasn't working again, the new one.
Oh, that's tough.
Turns out one of the kids just didn't close something properly.
Okay.
But nothing had gone bad.
Whew.
Enough about my refrigerator. All right, here's my answer. I thought about Kinlaw as well because they got to stop the run. I'm not going to go there. Von Miller, sneaky, could be in this as well. I don't even think we put him in the poll. But what if Von Miller has a great year? Like, if he had 7.5 sacks and finished a couple games with sack fumbles, like,
you know?
That's a big deal. I'm going Debo Samuel, though.
Okay.
I need one more playmaker on offense. I'm ravenous for it. And that's why I went and got Debo. If he's healthy and on the field, they're going to involve him a ton in the screen game. I think he's going to be super effective in that horizontal raid that they like to run.
Yeah.
Especially with this weird Terry situation. I'm very confident he will eventually get to work and probably have an extension to celebrate. But regardless, Debo elevating the passing game outside of just what you get out of McLaurin would be significant. And that also means he's involved in the running game.
Right.
Just him on the field changes everything for their offense. So I guess I would gift health and excellence to Debo over the rest of them.